Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex Gold is being babysat today by Jay Beakley, so all bets are off as Beakley's with Gold again. I think he's with him this whole entire week.
Yeah, he is.
Beak and Gold all week. So buckle up. That's from 10 to 2 again today. Royals in action tonight at 7 o'clock, 7:05 first pitch. So Vern's on deck show is at 6 p.m. tonight. So.
What does Beakley have?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Burning that he needs to get off today, huh? Has he got some kind of take about something? I mean, the Joey Chestnut thing was yesterday, as we knew. And
why don't you fly that story to Binkley about the garage and see what he has to say?
Oh, God. Could you imagine Binkley getting... You know Binkley's been confronted by the neighbors about something, right? I mean, it has to be, right? Has to be confronted about the neighbors, yes, about something at some point.
Funniest tweet I saw yesterday, and then we'll get into the topic that we teased. This is from Bleacher Report Gridiron. Jets running back is a prime candidate to be dealt at deadline if New York falls out of playoff race.
Okay.
Breece Hall could be a trade candidate.
Yeah.
I'd take Breece Hall and the Chiefs in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Yeah, dude.
That'd be awesome.
Yep. So if the Jets... So Breece Hall will be in the trade block by week 4.
Woo.
Yeah.
If they fall out of contention.
If they fall out of playoff race via ESPN... You. Breece Hall could be a huge trade candidate.
They pushed the trade deadline back a week again, I think, in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. I swear I saw that somewhere.
It used to be over in a blink of an eye. You're like, wait,
yeah,
we missed it?
Yeah. It was like week 8. I think I could be totally wrong on that, but for whatever reason, I think I saw something on that. Either way, it's midseason. But that, again, therein lies the problem. Are you going to wave the white flag if you're a team by, you know, October 15th, October 30th, or whatever, to tell your team that you're out of this thing and be willing to trade players? I think all these trade deadlines should be pushed back even further so that teams can really truly make a decision on whether or not they're out of it. Because as we know, it's a business. You tell your fans you're out of it, nobody's going to go to your business. You push the trade deadline in baseball back to August 31st. You push the NFL trade deadline back to like November 15th. Mm. And now you've given more teams an opportunity to suck.
More fun that way.
Yeah. And it is more fun that way because injuries can happen and all of a sudden you need somebody.
Yes.
And maybe a playoff team is wheeling and dealing and making a move for somebody later in the season, and it adds some juice to you. So I don't know. That's kind of the way that I look at it right now.
Jets first three games: Steelers, Bills, Bucks. So they could easily start 0-3.
Oh yeah. Speaking of pushback, I'm sure you two will have some as well as the text line when you hear this audio from one Sam Munson.
I believe the best quarterback right now is Josh Allen. I think he's become the guy. For years, it was Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Brady, that generation, once they went, Mahomes took over. The start of Mahomes' career was absolutely mind-blowing. The last couple of years, though, he's not been that guy.
Okay,
and really,
you.
It's been Josh Allen. I think you can make a case for a couple of other people, but Allen's combination of freak show wow plays, like everything he can do with his arm, the cheat code that is his short yardage ability, like his athleticism, the fact that he basically does not take sacks. I mean, one of the lowest sack rates, pressure to sack rates you're going to find anywhere.
Like,
utterly absurd analytics numbers behind him as well. I think Allen's the guy right now.
I mean, sometimes you don't respond to idiots. You know, this is, I don't know who's worse, the guy with the garage or this guy. I mean, not one time did he mention Josh Allen leading his team to victories. Not one time did he mention playoff success. Not one time did he mention leading his team after an 11-5 season, being the 3 seed, going on the road, winning in Buffalo, winning in Baltimore, winning the Super Bowl. Like, just stop. Stop trying to be the smartest guy in the room. Stop trying to show everybody you've got knowledge of football. Stop trying to be the evil genius out there utilizing stuff that doesn't matter to try to judge quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. Do you guys really remember a debate between Manning and Brady and who the best one was, like we're having with Patrick Mahomes and others? Manning and Brady.
Similar.
But Manning was always like, but he doesn't get enough championships. He doesn't win. Tom Brady's the winner in all of this. And I don't think anybody after that era concluded debated whether or not Manning or Tom Brady was the best quarterback of that era. It was Tom Brady. It was hands down. There was nobody making that case. I think this is the problem with, you know, overexposure of sports at times and really everybody having the ability to get their opinion out there. You don't need to get your opinion out there, especially when it's wrong and ignorant like this guy's was, right? I don't care that he has numbers. I don't care. I've got eyeballs. I know what I see. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest winner I've ever witnessed play this game, okay? He is the greatest champion that I personally have seen play this game with the way that he goes about his business. That guy drags his team across the finish line. That guy brings his team to Super Bowls. That guy wins when it matters most. Josh Allen doesn't do any of that. Like, we've got to stop comparing and saying there are better quarterbacks in the NFL because there's just not. And when you try to make those comparisons and say Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes, you look like a fool, man. You look like you're the guy out there dancing with no clothes on and doesn't realize it. Like, you look like a jackass when you try to say that Patrick Mahomes is not as good as Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes is the greatest winner in American professional sports to this day and will probably go down as one of the top 5 greatest winners in American professional sports of all time. That's what I want out of my quarterback, not some nerd stats that you found in your mom's basement behind the box with her Christmas decorations.
So, dork. I do like a lot of what Sam Monson puts out there. And I do think that we get confused when we compare quarterbacks. You just hit on it with Brady and Manning. I think the problem with quarterbacks is that we put 2 different categories on one position. We put championships and we put talent. And I think that Allen is the better athlete. I don't think there's any secret in that. I think he's just bigger, stronger, faster. Their arms cancel each other out. So when you go to that, that cancels out. But Mahomes is the smarter quarterback. And I also want to be very evidently clear that I'm not trying to be a homer or bias here, but when's the last time Mahomes had a healthy wide receiver room? 2023? He didn't have it last year.
No.
Didn't have it the year before, right? Like, just, I mean, he had Rashee Rice, but
he won a Super Bowl with Kadarius Toney,
Sky Moore, and others.
Juju, yeah.
Yeah, and you know who caught the winning touchdown pass in that Super Bowl?
Mecole Hardman,
who was let go, and then they brought back.
And Al was MVP last year, and maybe it was one of those things that was, like, already going to happen. But I think that we get lost in translation of greatness and greatest at the moment. And I think, you know, last year, Allen had a better year than Mahomes, but he didn't have a
arguably
better
the last 2 years. Yeah.
He didn't have a better finish.
No,
and I think the problem is that, you know, we get lost in the whole first 6 years of Mahomes' career, where it was just ungodly and people got video out on Mahomes. And what's even more impressive about this is that with all this video and all this stuff and all these plays that are out there to watch and all these tendencies to see, Mahomes still goes to the AFC Championship game and still goes to the Super Bowl. And so I don't think Allen is better than Mahomes. But I think in the last couple of years, he has been the better quarterback because he's had a better supporting cast. He's had an easier division. And when you talk about the division, there's apparently a new team in the division with a quarterback that could dethrone Mahomes.
I do think Bo Nix can be the quarterback that dethrones Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes atop the AFC West. Will it happen this year? I'm not 100% sure. Could it happen this year? Absolutely. I think between the Broncos and the Chargers, I think that both teams sitting just below Kansas City in the divisional standings have a chance to maybe take a run at the champs in this upcoming season. The Broncos, with a revamped run game headlined by J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey, they finally have a joker piece. Sean Payton hand-selected his guy in free agency in Evan Ingram, plus the addition of Pat Bryant in the wide receiver room, continued steps from Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, Devon Vele, and the like, opposite of Cortland Sutton to be the number two receiver role. And then you get to, oh yeah, the defense. What I already assumed and went on the record and said was Sean Payton's best defense he has ever coached as the head coach of an NFL team was the 2024 Denver Broncos.
Boys?
There's some interesting stuff there. Number one for me.
And that was Richie Carney. He's from like Denver radio, I believe.
Yep. Who? But
Carney, small hands, smell like cabbage.
Yeah. he's not saying that Bo Nix is winning the division this year. And he made that perfectly clear. He said he could be that guy. Could he? Sure. He could be that guy. Who do you guys think is, though, that guy that you could see being the first? Because I don't know if that quarterback quite now is on one of these teams that is going to be the one to take this division away from Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that guy is here right now. I don't know if that guy's in high school. I don't know if that guy's in college. I don't know where that guy is. But I don't think Patrick Mahomes is ready. And that's why I'm saying this. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is ready to give up this division right now. Everybody's trying to write this team off, man. And the Chiefs even tweeted about it yesterday, like, you know, having that 8-year swag coming back and all that kind of stuff with Patrick Mahomes. I feel like we're ready for a blaze of glory this year with this offense. And every passing day that goes by, I get more and more excited about what I'm going to witness at Arrowhead Stadium this year. And I can't wait to be out there for the four games that we're going to do.
Yeah.
Like that, that's really where I am on this one. Like I love revenge. I love shoving it, you know, to somebody and telling them to stick it and then saying, ha, 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 I told you so. Like, I feel like that's the route the Chiefs are taking this year. They've got healthy wide receivers. They've got a 25-pound less Travis Kelce. Nobody's got the poops anymore from the Super Bowl. And so I think we're going to see a team that's going to go out there and they're going to be possessed. And I think they're going to be possessed for a while. And so I'm not saying any of these quarterbacks can't do it, but I just don't think Mahomes and the Chiefs are ready to relinquish control. And I don't think either of these teams or any of these teams in the West have the quarterback right now who's going to unseat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in this division.
Yeah, it is funny how people seemingly just kind of ignore the multitude of factors for the reasons the offense slipped the last 2 years, whether it be injuries, offensive line issues, whatever it may be. There was a lot of factors that led to this offense having a slump. And those factors, as long as healthier persists.
And Mahomes still overcame all of them and still went, and to, the
still
Bowl,
went to the Super Bowl.
Sam Munson.
Yeah, exactly. I would say to this Denver guy's question, I mean, I think Herbert's that guy.
You do?
Yeah. I think he's got the talent now. And I think he's got the coach. I think the second best coach in the division.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think he's the one that brings everybody down. I just don't believe he's a winner until he proves otherwise.
Yeah.
And I mean, he hasn't won in the big moments like Aaron Judge almost, you know, like, great, you're hitting 400. Oh, against the Red Sox, 9 straight strikeouts or whatever it was. You know, you got to play big in those big moments. Hey, Bear has not played big in those big moments yet for me.
To be clear, I don't think that's this year. Chiefs are winning the division this year. Yes.
Decent. Coming up on the other side, Mac hijacks the show. We get into his burning question because we are 80 days away. Plus, we dive into one word here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Royals in action tonight here on 96.5 The Fan, starting at 6 o'clock with Josh Springer's On Deck show.
Back to those late 7 o'clock games, huh?
Right. Well, at least it'll be over by 9. 2 hours. Lugo versus Jack Leiter, Al's son. I think I would have named my son Bick if I had a last name Leiter.
That's good. Bick Leiter. Yeah.
Bick of the week. But no, it'll be Jack Leiter versus Seth Lugo. Almost mirror images of where they're at in the season. It's almost the same amount of innings, same ERA, same strikeouts. lighter, a little bit more walks, lighter, more of a fastball pitcher. Seth Lugo, more of a, well, he's got like 15 pitches, so I don't know what to call him. But they'll be in action tonight. The sophomore album continues to roll on. Vern at 6, Royals pregame show at 6:30, then the game at 7:05. All of that here on 96.5 The Fan. But again, remember when we were 94 days out?
Yeah,
two weeks ago. We're now at 80.
Yeah, 80
and
days
eventually
out.
It's going to be 8 days.
Let's go. Eventually, it's going to be like, all right, Friday, we got a game.
All right. So Mac's burning question of 80 days is coming to you live on 96.5 The Fan.
Your favorite game of this dynasty. So the last 8 years or so, you get to pick any game, playoffs, regular season. Your favorite game of this dynasty, and I want to hear your guys from the listeners too, 913-586-7965 to be a part of the conversation.
It really is such a good question. I don't know where to even start. I mean,
no, thank you.
I think exactly. Yeah, I mean, but that's the great thing about this, because I think everybody's probably going to have something different, right?
For
I
sure,
mean,
it's personal.
And,
yeah,
yeah, and what means the most to you and whatnot. I think for me, it really has to be the Tennessee AFC Championship game at home.
So good.
And because it was the first, and it was finally seeing, and you get emotional talking about it because that's what sports does to you.
You were both there, right?
Yeah. I had the opportunity. I was covering it, so I was down on the field and being part of all of that and whatnot. And
were you red blazer that day?
It was too cold. I have to go back. I had a big overcoat on because it was cold.
That was
the
meat coat of Frank Clark night, right?
Yeah.
Where he kicked their door in and took their stuff. And
yeah.
Who is he? Leading Russian league?
Yeah.
Told his ass to go home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then the guy with the hair stole it from me. What was his name? Jimmy Palmer?
James.
Yeah, Jimmy.
What's he doing now?
Yeah, I have no idea. That's the game because it was finally over the hump, but I also take the moment to watch the crowd, right? And I think that's important because you know how everybody's feeling and just the true emotion of that one. That for me was the one because everybody genuinely was finally relieved.
It was amazing.
That we finally made it. And I hate to say this, like it's going to sound wrong, but the more we win, I think the more fans don't appreciate it. And that, I think, was the most appreciable one because it was the first, and you didn't know if it was ever going to happen again, right? It took 50 years to get there that time. So for me, it's the Tennessee AFC Championship game because of everything that was wrapped up into that win of 50 years of everybody just having that joy. And it was just wonderful.
It was euphoric.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I mean, hugging random people in the stands.
Yeah, that's
people
what sports
crying.
Is about. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Titans row behind me. Get effed. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Talking to me the whole first half, Derrick Henry, the king.
Yeah,
never heard of him. Yeah. What about you, Dusty?
I think the obvious answer for a lot of people will be the 13-second game, just because I think everyone knows to this day until you die where you were, where you were sitting, who was next to you, who was in front of you, who was the guy that was like, I'm going home, I can't take it. Everybody knows where they were. But for me, my favorite game of all time was that Rams game that got moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles.
54-51.
The uniform scheme. The game
that
itself.
That made it, too. If they were just a normal uniform, like if the Rams aren't wearing yellow, it
and
may
not
be
wearing
as good.
All white.
Right, yeah.
I love the all white. I know some people are indifferent. But that game, even though it was a loss, was one of those games where if you needed more of an example of what Patrick Mahomes could be, that game was it. Because they were just never out of it. Unfortunately, they just had Bob Sutton calling the defense, and they couldn't adjust, and they couldn't stop Jared Goff. They couldn't stop Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks.
Ball, dude.
He quit
and
that game.
So, like, to me, that game was, to me, my favorite to watch just because I'm weird, twisted, all that. I love the whole teeter-totter effect of back and forth, back and forth.
Oh,
I don't know
epic.
Who's going to win.
Yeah, it was great.
Now,
incredible.
Again, I could put my top three, and you'd also have the Houston Texans divisional game.
Yeah, because, the comeback, yeah.
Because that game was everything, and I'll never forget this. I sat in the chair in front of Bob. Binkley sat there, and then Kent Swanson was over here when he was doing stuff with us. And I came in, and they scored. And I got up to go cut the audio, and Binkley would sit your ass down, Dust Man. Since you've been in here, they look like a whole new team. And the comeback happened.
Yes.
Because I came in when they were down 24-0. I said, what do we do? I said, what do we talk about? And Binkley goes, I don't know, man. It's the story of my life. He's like, Chiefs fan, like, every year, something like this. Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Titans, now we're down. Best team I've ever seen. And it was touchdown, Kelsey, touchdown,
yes.
Kelsey, touchdown, Kelsey. And all of a sudden, block punt, tackle punt, or not block punt, but, you know, whatever. And so, but to me, that Rams game was like a team that taught them like who they were and who Mahomes was, because that game was awesome. I mean, that was Aaron Donald's on that field.
Yeah.
And there was 105 points scored in that game.
Chris Jones was on that field too. There's still 105 points scored in that game.
105 points scored in that game.
It is one of the most remarkable games I've ever watched. It really is. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It reminded me kind of like a college game almost, you know, where teams are just going back and forth and scoring at will. And it was unbelievable. The Houston game has one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Travis Kelce touchdown of all time in the corner of the end zone where he's got five Texans around him. And Mahomes just dances and throws it. And Travis is like, I didn't even know I was going to be there,
but he did.
And he threw it there, and I was there, and I caught it.
There were five defenders around him, man.
It was
all those games, man.
But let's take Josh Allen, Sam. Go ahead for it. Yeah, go Sam Munson.
Well, that was 5 years ago. Oh. So,
and I think that one, his Mahomes had to make sure his toe was still behind the line.
So he was
on that
dragging
line.
He was dragging it.
It was everything was in that play. Yeah. So good.
Have you ever seen a quarterback more aware where the line of scrimmage is?
No, it's incredible.
Ever.
It's incredible.
That yellow line, I know this is spoiler alert, that yellow line that we see, that's not on the field.
Wait, it's not there.
Nope. And when it tells you 3rd and 9, it's not there either. But like that's the thing, is like even when we see it, you see Mahomes kind of like look over real quick, and then there's like that little quick improvised pass, and you're like, how does he do that?
You said something there that I want to correct you on. You said, have you seen anybody more aware of where the line of scrimmage is than Patrick Mahomes? You could have just ended it after aware.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anybody more aware in professional sports than Patrick Mahomes at everything?
Yeah, I saw someone post yesterday. It was like, just a little fun fact here, a couple years ago, the Niners in the Super Bowl tried to pull out a Spags blitz and late in the fourth quarter, and then it just shows Mahomes checking down and getting an easy first down. Whereas, like, you see all these other quarterbacks, Brock Purdy, Jimmy G, we've seen Jalen Hurts struggle with these Spags things. They tried to put it on Mahomes. Mahomes like, oh, okay, first down. My game's right after Bob's. It's that first Super Bowl win. You know, similar reasons. Okay. It's the first. And also just, you know, I was in college. I was at my college house. All my buddies, my family drove down. I mean, we made it a huge deal. We partied.
That run could be your top three favorite Chiefs games of all time.
Did you have, like, game food, like with chicken wings and bagel bites?
We had insane buffalo chicken dip, great queso. Mm. We had pizza. We had it all going on.
Where'd you get the pizza from?
We're up Knoxville place.
Mellow
we were mushroom. Up. I wish. We were up to like 3 a.m. party. It was incredible. It was euphoric. It was amazing. I
was the Texans game or the Titans game when Mahomes and Kelce showed up to Post Malone in Kansas City? Was that the Titans game?
Yeah, I think so.
They were like playing beer pong with Post Malone before he went out on the stage.
I think he came out
to Mahomes jersey. Yes. Mahomes danced when he went out to the.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, really? They showed up to a Post Malone concert and was like, "How are they alive?" I don't know if that was a Texans game
after the Titans concert.
No, it had to have been the Texans game because the Titans game was a night game.
No, right? The Texans game was the early game.
The Titans game was the first game.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was, yeah.
So maybe it was a Titans game. I can't remember. But I remember a lot of people went to the game and then went to the concert. Because that was like the start of posting. You know, Sunflower came out.
All that came out.
So somebody says from the 484, legend has it the Chiefs and Rams are still out there somewhere scoring touchdowns. Respect that text.
That's really good.
The Super Bowl comeback in Miami versus the Niners, greatest game in Chiefs history. I was there, cried like a baby. Best part of the Titans game. Oh, now we're getting a lot of it. Okay, here come a bunch of texts.
Yeah, I love that best part of the Titans game. That's a great text from the 660.
Read it.
Best part of the Titans game was the entire crowd screaming "Sammy" before Patrick threw it to him.
That last touchdown. Yeah,
yes.
I was down by that time downstairs for that, and I remember watching that play. Like you just knew this was over.
Open. Oh, so good.
Somebody says from the 816, the rematch against the Bengals when Kelce yelled at the mayor to shut his mouth, jabroni.
Don't talk to Mayor L that way. Oh, the mayor of Cincinnati. Oh, that's right, yeah.
November of 28, Chiefs 51 versus Rams 54, greatest game I've ever seen.
It's hard not to say that. That's not hyperbolic, man.
Not all wins have to be the greatest game.
Right, exactly. Not all games have to be a win to be the greatest, because that really was that was a better game than... I don't know. Think of a playoff. Have they blown out anybody in the postseason, really?
Really only that Colts game, Mahomes' first playoff game.
That's right.
Kind of a blowout.
So
this is Patrick Mahomes' first playoff game against Colts. I went to that game. It was snowing, and it was the best game I'd ever been to in my entire life.
It was so much fun that day because it was snowing.
First home playoff win in 30 years.
Yeah, and it was, I believe it was a day game on a Saturday. So for me, that's right in my wheelhouse. And our bar that day was built in a snowbank, and we had all the drinks in the bar to keep it cold.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And beat Andrew Luck, you know, kind of proved everyone like,
yeah,
hey, We're on the scene.
Oh, it was after the parade. After the parade. That's when they went to the Post Malone concert.
That makes sense. Okay.
I knew it was something after something like
it's
big.
Like, how were they alive? Yeah.
Yeah. After the parade?
That's even worse.
Yeah, dude. Got that IV, got that drip.
Yeah, I mean, when you know, you got some, you know, Don Julio in you, and, you know.
Don Julio, more than that. Mahomes out there, you know, grabbing the lower area talking. Mm-hmm. We ain't done yet.
No, they're not. Sam Munson may think so, but
Yeah. Blew out Miami in the cold. That was one of somebody's favorite games. That was just like the revenge Tyreek game. That's when LeJarius Sneed just covered him like a cheese blanket.
Yeah. Be honest with you, there's no chance I was going to that game.
Yeah, dude.
There's not enough money in the world I would have sat outside of that one.
My brother was at that game.
Ugh. They have any fingers left?
One word.
First name is Blake. He goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
816 says 13-second game after Romo congratulated Allen. That was my favorite part. Romo was congratulating Allen. I was screaming in my house. You do not know the power Patrick LeVon Mahomes II attains. Tony
screaming?
Romo.
You were not screaming.
That's what you were screaming. You don't know the power.
No, but I was screaming like, this game is not over, dude. This game is not over.
I don't know, Jim.
Look out, Jim. We've got a new sheriff in town, and his name is Joshua Allen.
Just insane. You know, the Chiefs, they tried, but, you know, Josh Allen, the Bills are just so good.
Do it.
One word on, we'll start with some basketball. One word on Angel Reese. She trademarked the word me-bounds because people started to make fun of her and call her rebounds. Me-bounds, she has now trademarked it.
Smart, but I mean, let's be honest here. That's not a, you know, an endearing term, but smart to trademark it. If people are going to try to make money off it, you might as well be the one.
Yeah, I think it's intelligent. I mean, if you had a trademark Mac, you know, let me tell you something. If that was your trademark, it's ironic because it's funny, but it's also smart, right?
Yeah.
Wow, you have that trademark? Yes, I do. I think LeBron trademarked Taco Tuesday.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, it's just, if you got it, take it. I mean, me bounds, yeah. You know, you're wanting to know about how you can get money? There's a way to get money, Angel Reese. Good for you. Also, low ball here. Somebody, like, pulled her hair over the weekend.
Oh, really?
And they tried to make it look like she was complaining. Dude, they pulled her hair, and she was ready to fight the entire team. So, yes.
I would be too, though.
I mean, understand how, like, we give her a lot of crap because of who she is and what she's built up. But also, sometimes it's okay to, like, respect what she does. Me bounds? Hilarious.
I like it.
McDonald's endorsement? Hilarious.
Good job.
Sticking up for yourself when somebody tries to bully you? Awesome. So intelligent for her to trademark that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw her on something else at the store the other day, too, when I was shopping. She's doing a lot right now. Hot. Yeah, she's getting and there's that. One word, the NBA began announcing the starting lineups of the finals yesterday. I haven't done that in the last 10 years, kind of trying to make the finals bigger. One word on them, you know.
In game five.
Yeah, in game five. Yeah, starting a little late.
Yeah. They had game one.
One word on that.
I will say listening is my word because they listen to the fans. Yeah, and that's what the fans wanted to see this on TV. I did see a funny tweet about that yesterday. They said, at this point in time, NBA Twitter should have a seat on the Board of Governors. Getting this kind of stuff done. So the fans spoke, they listened. And Dusty mentioned it earlier. Fans speak in sports. The NFL listens. Fans spoke in baseball. They listen. Fans spoke in the NBA. You got to listen to what the fans want. And if they're saying they want to see the introductions on TV, why is that a big deal? Put them on. It should be on TV. Those are fun.
It was. Yeah. It was fun.
Renaissance, right? Fans appreciate when they know that you're listening. I can't respond to every text to every show, but I try to respond to most of them because I want to engage with my audience. I want them to feel like they're part of it. I want to feel part of sports. If I put all my time and effort into this, as well as whoever works construction or does insurance or works in sales, whoever it is, you put your time into the sport, you want to give your word out there, hey, this would be kind of interesting, and then it works, you feel part of that because you were trying to force that new sort of beginning to that sport. Hey, a lot of people love, and now at guard from Villanova, 6'5",
number one in your hearts and your girlfriend's favorite player, you know, whatever it may be, people like that. You'll never be the Chicago Bulls.
No, but that's what everybody wants to be, that, right?
Yeah. And that's fine, but you won't be.
Right.
But look what happened in baseball. One closer came out and all these lights went nuts and the fans were like, what is this? I mean, I remember when that one guy for the Mets came out to the horns.
Yep.
And everybody was like, this is awesome.
And you say that one guy because nobody can remember that guy's name anymore. Tommy Trumpets was the song, but like, what was it? Diaz? Was it?
Yeah.
Edwin Diaz, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, Hunter Harvey had one. Lucas Hersig had one.
Yeah, a little bit forced at times. Not every single person that comes out of the bullpen needs though, especially if they're not getting the job done, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where you want to, you know, you want to listen because it pays off in the long run, whether you believe it or not.
Speaking of baseball, one word, Royals are back. It's been a losing streak. It's been a tough month or so now. One word on the Royals today beginning this road.
Opportunity. You have an opportunity to go out there and try to win the hearts back of the Kansas City baseball fan. And right now you're struggling a little bit with that because of the way this last week. Holy my God, what was that play in that baseball game by that Houston Astro player?
That's a big man, too.
I mean, that is a dude diving and contorting his body in all different directions and then three rolls on the grass after he catches it. Wow.
That's a big man play right
there.
Yeah.
So the Royals have an opportunity tonight to go out there and win the fans back, man. Like, go out there and win some games and get fans back to saying some good things about you instead of complaining about you.
So reality sets in. You're in the middle of June. The whole beginning of the season, the syllabus, all that stuff is over. And now you play the Rangers, you play the Padres, and you play the Dodgers. Look, you're going to play two powerhouse teams, and you're going to play a team that won a World Series 2 years ago. So reality is setting in. You had a players-only meeting. You're tired of losing. Go show it. Go prove it. Go do it.
Yeah. Put up or shut up time.
Yeah, especially with that players only meeting, right? Like, let's make sure that works.
Yes.
Because usually they don't. I'm just being the honest guy
because
here.
Because in 14, it took about a week and a half to 2 weeks before it really started to kind of show that this team was, you know, steamrolling forward.
I loved hearing Bink yesterday on the players only. I want to hear from Mark Canha.
Yeah, he was pissed about that.
Oh, of course, because players only meetings usually you're losing and it's your last grasp of an effort 100%. Type of thing. And whatnot. So, yeah, the Royals do have a hell of a schedule. Three at Texas, three at San Diego, off. Three at home against Tampa, and then the Dodgers roll into town.
Oh, Tampa before the Dodgers.
Yep, and then you go to Seattle after that.
So six straight at road. Six straight on the road.
Okay. I hope we get an Ohtani, just so I can go see it.
Yeah, I want to see that too. One word on Shohei Ohtani last night, pitching for the first time.
Cool.
Yeah,
he was only going to pitch one or two innings last night, hit 100, and did his thing. It's cool to see him back. It's great for baseball.
I mean, just mesmerizing. Like, to watch Dave Roberts' reaction to when he came up. Like, Ohtani, like, have you ever had those moments where you wake up late, you got to get in the shower, throw your clothes on, and get in the car and get there immediately? That was Ohtani last night after he pitched in the top of the first and then let off. He had to, like, get into the dugout, throw his glove down, put his shin guard on, put his elbow guard on, and it's like, you got a minute and 13 seconds to get in the batter's box. So impressive, magical, generational, whatever you want to put on there.
Multi-generational, really. I mean, we haven't seen this since the 20s and 30s, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's 100 years ago.
College World Series, Gage Wood, third no-hitter in the history, 18 strikeouts. Here was him after that incredible performance.
You just came over here and gave a hug to Connor Cunningham. Why?
Because, I mean, I work out with that guy in the offseason, and, you know, like, I mean, I didn't expect to see him here. I mean, and, like, I got to play against him, you know. He got there a year late than from when I graduated, but, I mean, I work out with that guy in the offseason. You know, he's a grinder. He works his tail off every day, and he's my scramble buddy, too. And, I mean, I'm looking forward to working with him every offseason going forward. You know, he's going to be he's going to get drafted one day. You know, he's a solid shortstop. I think he was freshman of the year for them. So, of course, I'm going to go over there and talk to my guy. Like, I mean, I'm on cloud nine, and their season ended. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to go tell him I love him. Great job, and keep working.
You just threw the third no-hitter in the history of this event. How do you describe your emotions?
I shouldn't have hit the guy. That's it. That's all I got to say.
When did you realize something special was happening?
I didn't throw a pitch out of the stretch for a while, and I was like, oh.
And your fastball, how did that feel to you?
Man, it was coming out pretty good, it felt like, today. I mean, it's nice and warm, so I was feeling pretty good.
Unbelievable. Got me to my TV about the seventh inning because you heard perfect game, and then he hits the guy. Shouldn't hit the guy. Like, that was his biggest takeaway from that game, and then he talked to his buddy before he even went and celebrated. So, good kid. But that was stellar. That's my one word. Stellar yesterday to watch that kid pitch.
It was fantastic. Third inning when he hit the guy. So he went third inning, I think, is when he hit the guy with the fastball.
Was it the third inning?
Third. And then went the rest of the game and didn't do anything. Didn't falter, didn't do anything. And then
hit a guy in the ninth.
And then the guy he's talking about is the shortstop for LSU who was completely devastated, like just ball, because it was an elimination game.
Yeah. So no, Murray State. They beat Murray State.
No. I thought they beat LSU. Could have sworn it was. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought it was LSU.
Arkansas beat Murray State yesterday.
Okay, yeah. I apologize. I thought it was LSU. But the no-hitter and, you know, then his interview afterwards where he's like, I shouldn't have hit the guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, because that kind of reminded me of whenever Mahomes beat Allen in the 13-second game, and then he ran over there and hugged Josh Allen because that's his guy. Scramble partner. Mm-hmm. That's his buddy. Like, that's where you know, like, yeah, sports are here, but relationships are above that. And even though you're playing against somebody, it's crazy. And they had the replay on last night, so I was able to watch it from the, like, basically where you started it. Like, seventh inning, I got home, I turned it on. It was halftime of the Pacers game, and there was a weather delay in Omaha, so they replayed that game. And that post-game interview was just awesome.
Yeah, really good job by him in that post-game interview to talk about it.
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah, like, that's my guy, man. And yeah. He went out and talked about it. He goes, I wasn't in high school with him. He was, like, the class after I graduated, but we still worked out together. We still knew each other. And, like, you saw him run over to that dugout. Like, Murray State's not supposed to be there.
No. Eighth inning hit by pitch. I apologize.
Yeah, I was going to say it was the eighth inning, because I saw it thinking the seventh inning, this guy's got a perfect game going. And then he hit somebody in the ninth inning, and the guy leaned into it, and they reviewed it and called him out. I'd never seen that before. That's a good college baseball rule. He did not get out of the way of the pitch.
Love that rule.
And let it hit him in the elbow to get first base, and then we're like, oh, no, he's going to hit this guy. And they're like, no, sorry, pal. You're going back. You're out. You didn't get out of the way of that one. And I kind of like that rule a lot. Arkansas, yeah, beating Murray State. There UCLA knocked off LSU yesterday. Okay. And so that kid, I mean, outstanding job by him yesterday. And it's really cool to see the family and whatnot in the crowd and do all that kind of stuff. And these are where these kids have an opportunity to truly make a name for themselves right now. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there today who are kind of baseball savants looking at these games going, maybe he's a big league pitcher. Maybe that's a draft pick we can go out there and get in the first round. And Arkansas always puts out great baseball players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's coming from a good program.
It is a Tuesday. We get to Bob's Tuesday threesome on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Final segment of the 7 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all with you today on this Tuesday, which means two guys are for sure getting laid.
I just want to win, Jen.
One guy is for sure going to sit alone on his patio. No secret of who that is. And that means we have a Tuesday threesome conversation to have with Bob Fesco.
I mean, that's a really good threesome. It really is. And here's the threesome that I have laid out for you. And I think this is going to be a tough one for you, Dusty. Maybe a little bit easier one for Mac. But I'm going to give you three things, and I just want you to pick which one and tell me why. We've got a legit corner outfield bat for the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Travis Kelce 2022, and then I got a 1 hour open bar where you can drink anything you want for free. Nothing is off limit. So if there's something that's like $250 a shot, that's included. If there's some weird scotch that you like, that's like $700 a glass, that's included. Nice. Some rando wine that maybe is $17,000 a bottle, that's included. So those are your options. You get 1 hour of that open bar with everything. You get one more season of Travis Kelce, but he's going to give you what he was in 2022, which is 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. Or you get that finally, that coveted outfield bat for the Royals that gives you that opportunity to have real power in the lineup.
It's a good one, Bob.
Thank you. Where are you going?
Am I going first?
What's in the parentheses?
Oh, yeah. Are you going to read it? What's in the parentheses, Bob?
I didn't add that in there.
Oh,
that's not me.
Is it on Cody tab?
It is. It could be. Yeah. Yeah. Cody's paying for it. Yeah.
Give me the bat.
Yeah. Taking the bat.
Give me the bat. Yes.
All right.
No, I Perfect. Want the bat. I want the bat. I want the bat. Give me the bat. I want the bat. The bar tab, that's fine. I don't need to go out and for an hour drink a, you know, $10,000 mint julep or a $400 beer. I like Travis Kelce. I want to see what the receiver room can do. I want to see what Rashee Rice can do. I want to see what Xavier Worthy can do. I want to see what Royals can do. I want to see Kelce be that veteran leader, that guy that's going to get everybody, you know, that much better in their career. But by God, I'd love to have an outfield power bat. But we have one in Jack Caglione. It's coming. Okay. Boston's number one prospect hit his first home run last night. He's hitting .063. Cag's hitting .213 in 12 games. Is there a home run tonight? I don't know. But boy, would that be nice to see. But I'd love to see another counterpart go with him in the other side of the field and have two power outfield bats. So I'd love to have the outfield bat.
I think that's what's more needed is the outfield bat. But I like to have fun. And this wide receiver trio with 2022 Travis Kelce would be fun. And I want to have 18 weeks of a good time and party in February and maybe, you know, drink some champagne like we should have done last February. So let's do that. Let's do 2022 Travis Kelce, him along with what we're going to see in Rashee Rice, which I believe is a top 15 wide receiver when he's fully healthy. Xavier Worthy could be the best deep threat in football because, you know, we know that.
That's like horseradish.
That guy's gone. And then we've got Hollywood Brown, of course, with Noah Gray behind him. Travis Kelce in 2022 with this team. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. And that's where I'm leaning as well, because I want the last ride to be spectacular. Yes. Like, I'm really putting a lot into this year that it's going to be a spectacular final ride. And I think when Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes put their mind to something and really go out there and want to accomplish something, they do it, right? The only thing that stops them is the bubble guts and you know, the diarrhea that we had in the Super Bowl, right? So I think seeing this one more ride in 2025 would be awesome. I don't know if one bat's enough for the Royals at this point in time. And that's kind of where I'm standing right now. I think they need more than one bat right now because nobody's hitting in the lineup. And so I just don't think one bat would get it done. It makes you a little bit better, obviously, and you still need to go out there and do that. But I don't know that one bat gets it done for the Royals. For me, the Travis Kelce route is where I'm taking it because it would allow me to close the door on his career and go, man, he left everything out there on the field. You know, that's it for me. I want those memories. I want that excitement. I want that fun. I want to see those two guys team up and just have the time of their lives like their kids again. Make it fun, you know?
Backyard football.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of times we get, you know, caught up in stuff that doesn't matter, the minutiae of sports, and we forget that it's supposed to be fun. And I just think Travis and Patrick know that this is their last run together. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I just think Travis is going to have that spectacular time. So if we could get a 2022 out of Travis where he goes out with like 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns, he ain't going out washed, folks. And it proved to everybody that he was never washed throughout his entire career. Circumstances dictate production a lot of times in professional sports. And the circumstances for Travis Kelce last year were like, we're going to put three guys on it because you ain't got nobody else can beat you right now.
Exactly.
And he still had 900 and some yards, right?
Yep.
So that's where I'm going.
I love it. Yeah, it'd be like a 2018-like offense again, man. I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, what's the text line got on this one?
Ew, LOL. It's too early in the morning for y'all to be so dang nasty, from Jessica.
Nasty.
Royals are dead either way. Chiefs don't need 22 Kelce. Midas whale drink.
What did you say?
Midas whale drink.
Spell that, Midas whale.
M-I-D-A-S-W-H-A-L-E. Probably speak to tech. Might as well drink. Yeah. And they got the Midas Touch Whale.
Yeah, I was going to say Midas Touch Whale. Yeah.
Bob woke up and chose violence with today's Tuesday threesome.
Dead.
I don't think the corner outfield bat, or wait, I don't think the corner of bat does enough to fix
outfield.
This mess.
Yeah. I just don't think one bat is enough right now. Everybody else has got to step up their game. And
yeah,
if it was like one person that needed to step up their game, fine. But it's like eight people that need to step up their game
right now. This team is in a bad away from a World Series.
Yeah, I don't think they are right now. Yeah.
Maybe a month ago, maybe I would have said otherwise. But.
Yeah, and maybe that would have helped everybody else's production in the lineup at that time. But nobody's trading guys in May, you know?
Don't up on the other side.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one person that has made their sport. No doubt about it. There are others we discuss. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.